Okay, take your Bibles and turn to Romans chapter 8. Last time we looked at what we have in Christ, and we're going to look a little more about that, but we're also going to look about Christ in us, and that has to do with spirit life. So now there's an interesting thing. You know, we were taught years ago that Christ in was the new birth, and in Christ was fellowship. And that's true to a degree, but sometimes Christ, in Christ, is also fellowship, or Christ in is also fellowship. You know, they both cross over because you have to read the context. So here in chapter 8, verse 1, it says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus." Well, that's not fellowship, that's what? The new birth, right? Dr. Worrell corrected this down the road, but if you weren't paying attention, you might have missed it. And then it was corrected more in Walking in God's Power. So you have to read the context. So, you know, in Christ can also mean fellowship. And then the rest of this verse doesn't exist in the Greek. It exists in the King James, but not in the original. So, but here it refers to the new birth. And then it says, "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death." Again, that's, you know, the new birth. "For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." And, you know, that's the big deal. We walk after the Spirit. We are to walk after the Spirit, which is the new birth, and all that entails in its entirety. Everything we got when we got born again. So what did we get when we were born again? Well, we were made righteous, right? And we were sanctified, justified. We were given wisdom. we were given the, you know, the gift of Holy Spirit, right? With the nine manifestations. All those things. And then we read the word and we see who we are and what we are in Christ. And as we walk after the Spirit, we keep that in mind. To walk after the Spirit is not just receiving revelation, but it's also walking according to God's word, right? So we want to walk after that Spirit, and we want to be spiritual men and women, because that's really the most important part of our life, is the spiritual part of our life. You know, we emphasize and we focus on physical things. It's so easy to do, but really the spiritual part of life is much more important than the physical part of life. In verse 10, it says, "And if Christ be in you," there we are. We got to it eventually. "If Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit, it is life because of righteousness." So, you know, if Christ be in you here, it starts with if, or and if, but it's really a rhetorical question, right? Because, of course, he's in you. He's there. It's all about, this is addressed to people that are born again, that have that Holy Spirit within them. And you know, God, he communicates that to us in different ways. It's called the Spirit of God. It's called Christ in you. It's called the Spirit of Christ. You know, it's called Holy Spirit. But it's all referring to the same thing. They may have different aspects to it, but it's all referring to the same thing. And it says here, the body is dead as a result of our sin nature. Well, you know. What did Jesus Christ say? He said, those that believe in him will have eternal life, and those that don't believe in him are condemned already. And the condemnation is the sentence of death, which it talked about in verse 1, right? There is therefore now no condemnation, no sentence of death. But in those, our physical body is dead because of sin. Now, we're walking around and breathing, right? But that physical body is limited. It's, you know how a lot of times when we buy things and they have engineered obsolescence. You know, they're engineered to last so long and then they break, so you have to buy a new one. Sounds terrible, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I remember there was a car General Motors put out, and at 50,000 miles, that car would die. It was just, you know, it was like clockwork. You know, that's the way it is. Well, our bodies are going to die because of sin nature, but that is why we have the gathering together. We get a new body. And like Christ Jesus received in the resurrection, we get a perfect body, a spiritual body. That's what we really look forward to, you know, that spiritual body. And then it says, but the Spirit is life, and that means eternal life, right? It says, but the Spirit is life. It is life because of righteousness. You know, Jesus Christ was righteous, and because of what he accomplished, when we believe in him, we become righteous. And that is why God can put that Spirit within us. If we weren't made righteous, we wouldn't be able to receive that Holy Spirit. That makes sense, right? In the Old Testament, for them to be have atonement for sin, they had to do a cleansing and they had to do all this stuff and do sacrifices to receive that forgiveness. Once we confess Jesus as Lord and believe in our hearts that God raised him from the dead, you know, that sacrifice is that perfect sacrifice and all our sins are wiped away and we become righteous. What a great thing. Let's go to Galatians. You know, sometimes you read this or you hear it 100 times and you go, yeah, that's great. But if you dwell on it and think about it, it's incredible what God did for us. It's just amazing how this all fits together so perfectly. Just is. It's just amazing. Chapter 2 of Galatians, verse 19. It says, this is Paul writing, for I, through the law, am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth where?
In me.
That Spirit of Christ lives in us. What a great thing. We used to talk about, and I guess it was taught in the advanced class, it's Christ's eyes behind your eyes, it's Christ's brain behind your brain, Christ's feet and Christ's hands and Christ's heart, everything within us. That Spirit of Christ can fill us full. And when we walk on the Spirit, when we walk on the Word of God, when we endeavor to do God's Word, that Spirit shines forth. So it says, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith, or the believing, concerning the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. So Christ lives in us. That eternal life that God gave us came by way of Jesus Christ. And that Spirit life that we have thrives when we live as Jesus Christ lived. You know, you think about what Jesus Christ did. Why was he so powerful? Why was he so dynamic? Why was he so amazing? Well, because he always did the will of the Father, right? And the more we endeavor to do the will of God, the more we endeavor to live Christ-like, the more dynamic our life will become. Verse 20 again, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. In the Working Translation, it says, "With Christ I have been crucified, and I live no longer, but living in me is Christ. So what I now live in the flesh, I live by believing concerning the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." You know, we have physical life, right? We all learned that, you know, when Adam was made, formed, and created, he was formed from the dirt of the ground, flesh and blood. And God made him a living soul. But he created in him spirit. And that was God's original intent, for man to have spirit life, which is really the most important part of our lives. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 3. Verse 16, that he, the Father, would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit, where?
In
the inner man. We're strengthened with might by the Spirit in the inner man. You know, in the Old Testament, you kind of see this in a unique way, because a lot of times it says the Spirit came upon these men. You know, Elijah said, "What do you want, Elisha?" And he says, "I want a double portion of what you have." And Elijah said, "Well, I don't know. That's a pretty bold request." He said, "But, you know, if God grants it." And then he did. He got that double portion of that Spirit. It came upon him. Samson, when it's, you know, it doesn't say anything about how strong or how big or how muscular Samson was. I think we're going to be surprised at what he was. But it says the Spirit of God came mightily upon him. You know, that was the inner strength, right? It was Spirit, even in the Old Testament. Ezekiel, he talks about the Spirit of God coming upon him when he had to do stuff. So that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. The inner man, that's the most important part of our being. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by believing. That ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height. And to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. You know, without that Spirit, you cannot comprehend what is the breadth and length and depth and height. You cannot comprehend the love of God. You cannot comprehend the love of Christ without that Spirit. It's pretty simple. You know, there were many people that have demonstrated love in history, but not like Jesus Christ. Not in any way, shape, or form. He did it all perfectly. And he did it all for people he didn't even know, if you think about it. He just knew that God told him to do it and that he would save the world. And he did it. And he suffered more than any man has ever suffered. And he was willing to put up with more than any man ever put up with, so that he could overcome it all, so that we could overcome it all, and so that we could have that Spirit within us, that Christ within us. How cool is that? God wants us to get a glimpse, to realize the greatness of that Christ in us, to know his love, to be filled with all the fullness of God. God wants us to know that. He wants us to see those things happen. Let's go back to chapter 2. Verse 5, it says, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. He has made us alive. The word quickened means made alive. We were dead in sins. The natural man has no real life. Our real reality in life is spiritual realities. You know, everything in this world, there's spiritual reality behind it. You know, it's not just there and that's it. You know, we look at the world, the news, and all that other stuff. There's all spiritual things going on, isn't there? Just like how the universe operates. Well, it didn't just happen, did it? It took spirit intelligence and spirit power to bring it all to pass, to set up the great laws of physics and chemistry and nature and all that other stuff. You know, it just didn't happen by accident. It was all because God set it up. So there's spiritual intelligence and reasons behind everything that happens. Let's go to Colossians. Colossians chapter 2, starting verse 20. In the coming weeks, I'm going to try to do some more aspects of Jesus Christ and his accomplishments and what it means to us. You know, Christ means the anointed one. And when it says we have Christ in us, what does that mean?
We're anointed.
We're anointed, right? If you don't think you're special, think again. Each and every one of us is precious and special in God's sight. Verse 20, wherefore, if ye be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why, as though living in the world, are ye subject to ordinances? Yeah, why? It's a good question. Why? You know, why do people put themselves under laws and ordinances? Jesus Christ made it so simple, you know. Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love thy neighbor as thyself. You know, how easy. Wherefore, if ye be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why, as though living in the world, are ye subject to ordinances? Touch not, taste not, handle not, which are all to perish with the using. You know, that's pretty much what religion is, isn't it? Touch not, taste not, handle not. Don't do this, don't do that. You have to do this, and that's the only way you're going to get to heaven. I didn't touch on that yesterday. I was going to, and then I didn't want to shake people up too much. But, you know, there's really nothing it says. You know what it says? It says we'll be with the Lord forever. It never says we'll be in heaven. Now, if he's in heaven, we'll be with him, right?
Yeah.
And heaven is anywhere above the earth. So if we meet him in the air, I guess we're in heaven. But, you know, people have this idea of the pearly gates and the perfect place floating on the clouds. And, you know, doesn't really, now it does say we're going to be on paradise on earth when the new heaven and new earth comes. And there'll be a new Jerusalem, and there'll be streets of gold and all the other stuff. But, you know, that's later on. People are in for a shock. So, touch not, taste not, handle not, which are all to perish with the using. After the commandments and doctrines of what?
Men.
It's not after the commandments and doctrines of God. Which things have indeed a show of wisdom in will worship and humility. This is a great verse. And neglecting of the body, not in any honor to the satisfying of the flesh. You know, that encapsulates religion. It's the doctrines, the teachings, and the commandments of men. And the working translation is of verse 23, those things, talking about verse 22 and 21, have an appearance of wisdom in a self-prescribed religion and humility, even to the extent of severe treatment of the body without any esteem for the gratification of the needs of the flesh. Yeah. That's how monasteries started and all that other stuff. The ESV says, the ESC says at the end, but they are of no value in stopping the indulgence of the flesh. You know, these things don't really make a difference, do they? And let's go back to Colossians chapter 1. It says in verse 27, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. You know, that spirit that is inside of you is the proof of the glory that will be revealed to us at the gathering together. Read the verse, Romans 8, 18. I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory that will be revealed to us. You know, and that Christ in you is the proof that we have that we have eternal life, that we have spirit life, that we're going to heaven, that God will gather us home. So, God bless you.